Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast of parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is from our associate pastor, Reverend Jeffrey Wendelowski, and is titled, I Can Do It. It's based on the Acts of the Apostles, Chapter 2. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
Good morning and welcome to the house of the Lord as His people are gathered here at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. Remembering our baptism, we make our beginning this day as we do each day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Numbers, the 11th chapter. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, and they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, My Lord Moses, stop them. But Moses said to him, Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them. And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord.
On all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. With the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved.
The second reading is from Acts, the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others, mocking, said, they are filled with the new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and our young men will see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
God. Okay. Please stand. Okay. Gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
We are going to sing a wonderful hymn from the Lutheran hymnal, from the 1941 hymnal, Come, O Come, the Quickening Spirit.
Thank you.
Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. These words recorded in the second chapter of the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them, and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Thus far the text. You may be seated. It's a joy and delight to welcome you again this day, on this, the Feast of Pentecost, in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. So, I've got to ask you the question, we'll answer this later, but think about this as we go through the sermon. What is your answer to who? Who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? What's His work? Keep that in the back of your minds. So here in, let's see if I can get the month right, in May of 2026, what is the culture? I'm going to kind of narrow that down a little bit, but what's the culture around you? What's the culture around Westfield? What is the culture around Massachusetts, the United States, and, well, across the world? What's the culture? And in a lot of ways, well, you can answer that many ways, but the way I'm going to answer it today is there is this culture in and amongst ourselves, and even outside these doors, of what? I can do it myself. I can do it. And, you know, if you have ears that pick up my children, you will hear them in the back sometimes. What do they say? Zoe says, can you please do this? Or let me help you do this. And what's the words that come out of their mouth? I can do it. Same things a lot of times with the adults, right? With all of us. Even the folks up here on the altar, we adopt this culture because we hear it on the news, we see it on Facebook, we read about it online. If you're like me, I don't know, I don't often watch the news, but I just, if you open, I've discovered a new tab on Google Chrome search bar thing. It'll give you all these articles of things it thinks you want to read. So that's what I read for my news. But nonetheless, we see all of these things, and you get in your mind time after time after time after time, I can do it. And especially for adults, how often do we think this? Not only I can do it, but I know it all. I know everything. I have the answers to everything that I could possibly think in the world. Anything that somebody could possibly want to know from me, right? You think in your head, oh, you know what? I got all the answers, and if I don't have the answers, I can figure out where it is I can find the answers, and you pull out your phone, you get on your computer, you ask your neighbor, you go over, I don't know if anybody still borrows like eggs and stuff from their neighbor if they run out, but you go and harass your neighbor, and you ask them, well, what do you think about this? What's the scoop with this? But the point is, what is the point? The point is that we have this culture in our own minds and around us constantly bombarding us, boom, 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 like Isaac mentioned about the Air Force base and the planes flying over and the rockets and all these things. But around us, all the time, saying, you can do it. You can do it. I know everything. Constantly, boom, 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 boom. But here is the thing. When it comes to God, because we're all born with what we call theology, we call it original sin. So we're all born sinners, right? All born condemned under the law. We simply cannot, by our own reason, by our own strength, come to Jesus Christ and come to know Him as our Lord and as our Savior. We simply cannot do it ourselves. Can't be. We need a helper. And here's the thing. They're actually, really, Zoe and I were having a conversation about this last night. That's one of the beauties if you're married to one of the pastors, well, the night before the service, that's what you get to talk about. But nonetheless, Zoe and I were having a conversation about this last night, exactly about the comfort of this. That, you know what, you, no matter how smart you or I think I am, no matter how much you buy into I can do it, I know everything, Here's one thing you can't do. And if you think you can, in the handshake line after the service, come on, have a little chit-chat with me. Be glad to. We can go have coffee or something after. Got to come to the voters' meeting first, but after that. But nonetheless, here's the thing. There is a ton of comfort in the fact that you, in and of yourself, cannot come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. As we confess in the third article of the Creed, and I'm going to quote from the Apostles' Creed, which nicely we put it on the back of your bulletin for you as a good reminder from when you went through confirmation or new membership class. But what is the third article of the Creed? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting, to which, as the kids did a fantastic job on the second round, to which you say, Amen. Yes, yes, this is most certainly true. And the explanation that we have in here that Luther gives to us says exactly that, that I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. And then he goes on. But it is the Holy Spirit who has called me by the gospel. And I think sometimes we think, especially when you're sitting around, you got nothing to do, you're thinking about your faith, you're thinking about God's word. Sometimes we think, especially when we hear this text, we see all the red out, we see the fire around on the altar here, for instance. We think, well, you know what? If I was here in Acts chapter 2, if I was here on this day when Pentecost arrived, we're all in one place, suddenly comes from heaven this mighty rushing wind, imagine that, and it fills the entire house where everybody's sitting. And then these divided tongues as of fire appear to them and rest on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we think, oh, hey, you know what? Maybe when my faith feels like it could be improved a little bit in terms of feeling pretty weak, struggling with some doubts in my faith, we think, hey, you know what? This place in Acts chapter 2, well, that really wouldn't be too bad of a place to be. Maybe if I saw all of these things, maybe my faith would be stronger. Maybe my trust in the Lord to provide all of the things that I need to sustain this life, this body, and my soul. Maybe if I was there to see this, well, maybe my faith might be a little stronger. Or even as we just sung in the hymn, love this hymn, and you're welcome. It has like 9 or 10 verses, so I chopped out 3 of them. But nonetheless, if you look even at, for instance, the 4th stanza of this hymn, says, with our spirit bear thou witness that we are the sons of God who rely upon him solely when we pass beneath the rod. Love this. For we know as children should that the cross is for our good. And the next stanza, it picks up exactly a lot of times how we feel when we have all of this stuff going on around us. We say, oh my God, how long, how long? And we cry out to God. So this is the comfort of all of this. Because you cannot come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in and of your own accord, as I said, somebody else. Somebody else is the one who brings you to faith. Because if you answer the questions, well, what pops into your mind? Did I pray enough? Well, your answer is no. Right? Did I love my neighbor in the way that the Lord has asked me to do it? No. Did I gladly hear and learn God's word as we know from the third commandment? And what's the answer to that? No. So you could keep asking these questions, no, 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 no. It's often the answer, which is how you get into a lot of church bodies, for instance. You get into this thing where it's like, well, I fell away from the faith, so now I need to be rebaptized. So you come up, you get rebaptized, and then you fall away from the faith again as your faith weakens, things happen in life, for instance, and you get baptized for the third time. And the fourth time, and all these things. Or you come up to the altar call, and you're like, well, I want to give my life back to Christ, so on and so forth, and you do this a million times. But here's the thing. The focus of all of that is not what you're doing. That's not it. The focus is on the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit delivers the forgiveness of sins to us as we confess in the Creed. And so, too, whether you knew this or not, I'm going to pick on him. He doesn't know this. But, for instance, coming up next week, We get to say goodbye to a very dear person who's been attending our congregation for quite some time. Nick, can you put your hand up for me? I know he loves to be put on the spot. This is Nick. If you haven't met Nick, Nick Fry, I'm going to make his face turn red. That's okay, Nick. I like to embarrass people every once in a while. A few weeks ago, it was Rich's turn, and then, yep, he's giving me the thumbs up, and Katie, and Haley, and the other Nick over there. You know, sometimes you guys move seats, so you get me lost. But Nick is heading off to the seminary, to Concordia Theological Seminary, next week, his last Sunday with us. So he's going to be invited up to the altar for what we call the farewell and Godspeed to those who are sending off to the seminary. But the Lord is drawing him in this direction, right? And by the grace of God, 4 years down the road, he will be ordained as a pastor, he will receive a call, he will be examined by those at the seminary, and he'll be eligible for a call, and then he will be ordained. Because the Lord has promised to provide for his church and to give us these means of grace, right? The Lord's Supper, holy baptism, confession, absolution, and so too the preaching of the word. But how is it that he does that? He does that through who? He does that through your pastors, right? The called and ordained servants whom the Lord himself places in your congregation. So it is, as Nick prepares to head off, remember him in prayer in the weeks and years ahead. As I told him, the invitation's always open after you take homiletics, your first preaching course. We'd be glad to have you up here. I'll make sure the light will be on. It's calling your name, Nick. We'd be glad to have you come and preach. All right, yeah, there we go. Thank you, Nick, and God's blessings to you as you prepare to head off to the seminary, because it is an important thing, and we need more pastors in the church. So God's blessings to you, and it's been such a joy over the past, 9 months, however many months we've known you, such a joy to have you here. But here's the thing. Here's the summary of all of this. You can't do it. The Holy Spirit is the one who calls you to faith. The Holy Spirit's the one who sustains and keeps you in the one true faith, as we say, unto life everlasting, because what are the words that you hear that come out of the pastor's mouth after you receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What does the pastor say? Today you're going to hear me say it, right? May the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith unto life everlasting, and depart in Pentecost, peace and joy. That's what you're going to hear. That's the joy. Because even though sometimes you forget or your memory fails, the Holy Spirit does not forget you. When you're sick, when you're laid up in the hospital bed, the Holy Spirit does not forget you. And that's the comfort, because it doesn't, does not rely on you in and of your own accord coming to Christ. Because if that was the case, well, you know what? For all of us, we would not simply have salvation. So praise be to God that it is that this Feast of Pentecost, we get to praise for the gift of the sending of the Holy Spirit and to thank Christ for his death on the cross, through whom we have the forgiveness of all of our sins, which is a host and a mighty number of them, that we can look to the cross and know that throughout our life, that is where we look for salvation. And praise be to God, the Holy Spirit, for giving us this gift of faith outside of anything that we would do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
We remain standing as we sing our recessional hymn, number 794, The Lord My God Be Praised.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.